If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
I'm a little bit out of breath. Got running here a little bit late. I've got my stuff all ready except for the fact that part of my notes for the show no longer seem to be in existence. Excuse me. As I am trying to figure out just where all of my, and they're not necessarily notes, but they're my, like my liner notes and crap like that that needs to be there because it's for, stuff that needs to be said during the show. But at least I have them here on the computer. So we are working on trying to get everything going here on this beautiful day, which is actually kind of cold here in Indiana. We had like 80 degrees yesterday, and it's about 52 right at the moment. I think it's one of the highest temperatures of the day. The sun didn't come out. It's been raining all day. So good afternoon and welcome to the new Wise Conservatism radio show here on Blog Talk Radio. Heard through the Conservative Nation Radio Network at conservativenationradio.org. After my opening monologue, the number to call in and talk on the show will be 718-305-7176. So if you want to call in and join in the discussion today, we will be happy to have you here. Hello, Lady Michelle. Glad to see you here. After months and months of stonewalling and lying of the administration and the minions who work for the administration, we are finally starting to get some of the truth about what happened in Benghazi during the hours of the attack back on 9/11/2012. And the sad part about this is the people who should have known almost from the start what happened, the media, are now just finding out what really happened, and they are totally aghast at what the truth is turning out to be. But the funny part about this whole thing, and it's not funny in a ha-ha way, it's funny in a really sad way, is that the original reports that came out have now turned out to be just exactly what happened. Until after the White House and the administration decided to change things. But the reasoning for this whole thing is the government, which should be held to a higher degree of truth-telling, seems to know nothing about what the truth is anymore, especially the Obama administration. The truth has taken a beating for far too long now that American people have accepted without any trouble, it seems, to take just what the politicians say to heart and then go about their lives. This is something that through my 60 years I have watched, and I've seen this developing. I watched pretty much some of this same stuff happening when Reagan took office. And it's I'm glad to see that there are several people in the chat room here. Hello, Barbara, and Nation Radio 4166. And Conservative Nation, yeah, Conservative Nation Radio 4166 and Conservative Nation Radio 142. And the next letter is gone. And, of course, Lady Michelle. But like I was starting to say, we Americans essentially have elected our officials to do their job in Washington, D.C. And while they are supposedly doing their work or whatever they think they were hired for in Washington, we have gone back to living our lives like Americans always have. And in going back to living our own lives and taking care of our own problems, that we have to take care of, Washington was too far away to give us much grief until now. The first time that seemed to be coming to an end was when Reagan took office and he gave us his Shining City on a Hill speech, in which he said, how can any bureaucrat in the city thousands of miles away know better than us what it takes to run our own lives? Now, I was paraphrasing there, but you all know what he said, and it's been used over and over and over again throughout the past 20 so years, just exactly what he said. But now we have a president who is presiding over an economy that is quickly heading south, while the Fed continues to feed it money from presses that keeps the market artificially high and keeps kicking the can down the road and saying that all is well, all is well. Remember in Animal House when the residents of the town were running away from the parade and Kevin Bacon was in a uniform getting run over by the yelling crowd and he was yelling, all is well, all is well. That is what we have now. The government is running roughshod over all of us, yelling at us that all is well, all is well. And we have this foreboding feeling of doom coming up in our bodies as we feel the government trampling us down into the dirt, yelling all is well. And that is what we have now. We are all standing on the railroad tracks and the train is coming straight at us and our leaders are yelling, all is well, all is well. And we know that if we do not get off the tracks, we are going to get obliterated. I've said this so many times before that one of the reasons that I got into printing in the first place was because of the ability to get the truth out to millions of people. The trouble with this one is the truth has taken a turn for the worse, and now the truth is whatever the people in power perceive it to be. And sadly, the party in power now has no desire for the truth. Remember, something that we knew but the government denied, the talking points of what happened in Benghazi has been changed 12 times before the White House allowed the report out. Jay Carney said that the only change made before the talking points were put out in November was the word consulate was changed to, and God, old age is horrible. They changed it to, I think, embassy, because it wasn't a consulate. But what was really taken out was any reference to Al-Qaeda and terrorism. And this was done to protect whom? So now the truth begins to emerge about the Benghazi attack 8 months after the fact, when in fact the original report about it, like I said a few minutes ago, that was changed 12 times to make things out, to take things out the State Department and Hillary Clinton didn't want there, was more right than anything that followed. And now we are finding out that it was right. This whole thing that Hillary Clinton tried to tell us for weeks, that this whole attack was nothing more than a protest against a YouTube video that for a week or so we were told was the sole cause of the consulate's attack and the death of four Americans. Now the Democrats are trying to push that we, the people who are pushing for the truth, are doing nothing but trying to make this political. Folks, the ones that made this political in the first place were the Democrats. Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and Jay Carney, who changed what happened before releasing information for the public to hear. And I say I am thankful for shows like Rush and Sean and Glenn Beck, the Blaze Network, and also some also now networks like mine here, the Conservative Nation Radio Network at conservativenationradio.org. Without all these networks working to get the real news out that the big three in Fox and MSNBC and CNN just do not have the cojones to put out there for fear of retaliation by the government or whoever they think is listening to them. And the sad part about it is, like with CNN and MSNBC, a lot of the people who are really listening to them are listening and then laughing because they realize just what idiots and buffoons these people are. But my idea on this kind of censorship by the media and the government is nothing more than the time having to come to have a revolution to get rid of the status quo and putting the truth back into our society. This is something that is sorely needed. I have people in my own house who are saying that elections don't work and there is no one out there who is trying to tell the truth, let alone really research to find it. Sadly, that I feel is where a good portion of the United States is now, afraid it is too late to do anything. Another member of my household, and I'm not talking my wife or my kids, I'm talking about the new members of my household who have moved in because they had problems in their own house, so my wife moved them in. Another member of my household said, "What can we do about it?" This to me is the biggest defeatist way to look at things, but at least he is asking what we can do about it. That is when I will speak up and say, "Research, look, find out what is going on, and then vote the bums out of office when the time comes, period. Revolution at the ballot box." But people, both of these attitudes that I have just mentioned from my own house are bad enough to keep if people just give up because they feel elections don't work or there is nothing we can do. You see, my friends, that is just what the liberal left in our government wants us to feel like. So they take over the country and continue to take our freedoms away like they now want to do. And it is time the American people start standing up to this growing problem of our government doing things to push their agendas down our throats, tail with ours. It is time we started thinking the way I do. We are right, they are wrong, and the wrong is no longer going to run this country. We are going to research what the government says, figure out what the truth really is, and then when we find out what the truth really is, let you know you need to talk about it and tell us what it is. Because for years now you haven't. And you are losing the ability to even know what the truth is. Time to be taken out of office, I think. We here at the Newswise Conservatism Radio search hard for the truth and listen to many who try to make their lies truth. It isn't easy to find what the truth really is anymore unless you remember what you have been told and by who you have been told it, and then watch to see who changes their story as the stories develop. On Benghazi, Obama has changed quite a bit. Jay Carney has changed. Hillary Clinton has changed, though she was fighting that change. She was fighting that change when she came out with her infamous statement of "What difference does it make now?" Ms. Clinton, I will tell you, the truth matters. Lies matter. You told a lie. You had somebody who did a video put in jail because you said it was his video that started this so-called demonstration that killed the four Americans in Benghazi. Last time I heard, Ms. Clinton, this man was still in jail for nothing because he has been vindicated of all wrong by the facts. But as far as I have been able to figure out and find out about this man, he is still in jail for it. So what difference does this point make? What difference at this point does it make? One of the things that makes me madder than a wet hen was after Benghazi, Hillary Clinton, in a moment of desperation, cried out, "What difference at this point does it make?" It's like I have said on this show before, I came to the CNR network, and I would undoubtedly say it again, it means a whole lot, Mrs. Clinton. In Benghazi, four Americans died, Ms. Clinton. One of them was an ambassador who in the hours and days before was crying out to you in Washington for help. He was denied, and now he is dead. While he was dying, the White House decided the help was too far away and wouldn't be able to help anything. Yet later we find out that help was ready to go about 20 minutes away. We were told, and they were told to stand down. What difference does it make, Ms. Hillary Clinton? Why don't you ask the families of the four people killed? I am sure that they will tell you. Of course, you won't do that, will you, Mrs. Clinton? You won't do that because you care nothing for what difference does it make. At the NRA convention in May, Glenn Beck spoke, and he talked of the encroaching darkness when he said, "They think this is just about guns, but it's not. It's about family," he explained. "Liberals think we're silly because we think gun rights are more important than our children. But we actually believe these things because of our children." He added, "Guns save lives. Guns protect homes and businesses. Guns protect our wives and daughters." I now have to do a thingy here. I kind of was going on my little monologue there. And again, I want to say hello to everyone in the chat room. And I've got to move some stuff around here because I lost my my liner notes as to what was going on. So I have to read them off my computer, which means I got to move things around because my screen isn't that big. I wish I could get my big computer out here to my studio because it's got a huge monitor and it would really make things a lot easier. Let's assume that if you're listening to conservativenationradio.org, you're a conservative. This probably isn't the one I need to read, but I will get around to them all. You love America and our Constitution just like we do. Since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from books, bumper stickers, and patriotic t-shirts to flags. And your pipeline to all that good stuff is right here at conservativenationradio.org. Just go to our website, conservativenationradio, that's one word, .org, then click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative revolutionary needs. It says revolution. That revolutionary actually sounds really good here. Wave your flag proudly and display your love for America and the conservative revolution starting right now. Just go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution. real conservatism for real conservatives.
All right, class. Let's hear what everyone did this weekend. Jill?
Well, I raised my older sister to a big oak tree. It was at least 100 years old. My mom said I must have set a record or something. And then we went down by a stream and perched up on this huge rock and saw all of these little minnows swimming around way below us. And then I rescued my little brother from an evil slug king who was guarding him at the bush fortress. And my sister and I brought him back to our super twig fort for safety. And then we all laid out and told stories until it got dark. And the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Whoa! Where were you, Jill?
Yeah.
We went to the forest. It's not that far away. Anyone want to come this weekend?
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week and find the fun, adventurous you. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese. And guess what? Egg rolls showed up. Like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
I've noticed that there are several more in the chat room, exposing demons too. Welcome to the show. I was discussing the NRA convention and what Glenn Beck was talking about. I had some sound bites here, but I'm not sure if I've still. Yeah, I've still got one of them. But at the NRA convention, Glenn Beck prowled the stage and waved an antique rifle, bringing the NRA's annual meeting on May 4th in Houston to its feet. The NRA's progressive foes in Washington feel like they must regulate us until we comply. That brought the convention to his feet after he says, "I will not comply. We must now stand and fight, because if we don't, America will go the route of Nazi Germany. They started with gun control, taking guns away from law-abiding citizens in preparation of what followed, complete governmental control over the people in the Holocaust." Now, I am not saying that the Holocaust will happen here, but complete governmental control is coming, and that will cause a bloody rebellion that we can still avoid. And I really seriously believe that if the government comes in and tries to take our guns, that they're going to have a problem on their hands. But that is neither here nor there right at the moment. We need to stand and fight against those who deny the Creator. What he went on to say, he said, "We stand against spiritual wickedness in high places." At the NRA convention, the point was brought out that one of the things that non-gun people fail to understand about the NRA is that is the spiritual fervor of its core membership. The speech that Glenn Beck gave, even though some of you out here do not like the man, made a lot of sense. He mixed myths with gun confiscating control crowd that they always talk about, with true history that brought the whole thing into perspective. I wrote down that I even have a few clips here, but I'm not really exactly sure if they will work, because they are on my computer. The speakers on my computer are really small, so if they did work, it wouldn't sound that great anyway. But he made mention of several things. He talked about a naked hippie. He showed a picture of a naked hippie, and it looked like the guy was from Woodstock, although he said it wasn't. He said they couldn't find the picture of the naked hippie at Woodstock. But he was talking about another naked hippie who, in the backyard of some man, was out there shooting birds with a gun. And the gun that Glenn Beck was holding on stage at that point in time was the gun that was being used by this naked hippie. The owner of the house called the police. The police came in and took the gun away from him. This naked hippie was Charles Manson. And we all know what happened later on. But Glenn Beck brought up a really good point here. He said that the problem came in that Charles Manson, even though he had his guns taken away from him, still did his dirty deeds, did them with a knife. And how could that be? The liberals seem to think that guns are the things that everybody uses to get rid of everybody else, because it's the guns that are evil and guns need to be gotten rid of because it's guns that kill people. No. Guns don't kill people. People kill people. And I did a blog post on my blog and named it Gun Control Proponents Will Hate These Stats. And this also came from the Blaze Network, where they added in, figuring that would be helpful to share some gun statistics pointed out to us by some of the NRA convention attendees. Forget the talking points used by both sides in gun control debate. We're going to talk about verified statistics. Gun control advocates, be advised, these are not the statistics you are looking for. According to data from the FBI's Uniform Crime Reports, California had the highest number of gun murders in 2011 with 1,220, which makes up 68% of all murders in the state that year and equates to 3.25 murders per 100,000 people. Excuse me. The irony of such a grisly distinction is evident when you look at which state was named the state with the strongest gun control laws in 2011 by the Brady Campaign to Prevent Gun Violence. Excuse me. And if you guessed California, you guessed it. It was California. What is very unusual is that California also has a program by which we can remove guns, recover guns from people who have a gun, and then subsequently become prohibited or dangerous, Brady Campaign spokeswoman Amanda Wilcox said at the time. It should be noted, though, that California is also one of the biggest states in the country, with a population of about 37 million. Therefore, it might make sense that it would have a high number of murders, but its murder rate is still high, as gun control has had a seemingly inconsequential impact, and exposing demons said, "I've never seen a firearm walk out of a home and kill someone." Exactly. But that, if you listen to the talking points of the liberal left and some on the supposed right, like John McCain and Lindsey Graham, guns are the ones that will get up on their own and walk out of a house, find somebody, and randomly shoot them just because they are a gun. And this kind of thinking just really just, if I don't know, it's To me, it's insane to think that a gun is evil. A gun is metal. That's all it is. It doesn't have a mind. It doesn't have a heart. It doesn't have feelings. All it is a tool of sorts to help us get food or help us defend our families. Or if you're one of these people who decide that you have to go out and kill somebody, it will help you do that too. But the gun is not evil. And one of the things that Glenn Beck did while he was on the stage at the NRA, he was holding another rifle, and it was an old one from the American Revolution. It started out in an American's hand, or actually in a British soldier's hands. The British soldier was killed. An American soldier picked it up, started using it. It changed hands several times. But that didn't mean that, you know, then he asked, is the gun evil? It killed people on both sides of the issue there. It all depended on who was holding the gun. And that's when he brought up the point, which is hard to refute if you look at the reasoning of it. Guns don't kill people. People using guns or people using knives or people using sticks or whatever they want to use are what kill people. And it's really sad to think that we have let ourselves be swayed so freaking far away from everything that we know is true to a lie that if you just look at it for just a couple of minutes, be just as plain on as the nose on your face or the silver microphone in front of my mouth right now. The truth doesn't change, no matter what the liberals or the media or anybody else wants to do to it. You tell a lie and get people to believe that lie, it's still a lie. But on this whole thing about gun statistics, they listed a scorecard on most of the gun control states where that are the worst when it comes to gun crimes. And, of course, I didn't go and print it out so I could actually read that. But it showed that in the 2011 state rankings, the ones that were the worst were the ones with the highest gun control laws. In 1976, the District of Columbia required all guns to be registered, banned new guns, and required guns at home to be stored and disassembled or locked up. Unfortunately, the draconian measures, which lasted more than three decades, didn't have the desired effect. Journalist and attorney Jeffrey Scott Shapiro explains the not-so-surprising results in an op-ed published in the Wall Street Journal on January 15, 2013, where he said the gun ban had an unintended effect. It emboldened criminals. Oh, really? Who saw that? Because they knew that law-abiding district residents were unarmed and powerless to defend themselves. Violent crime increased after the law was enacted, with homicides rising up to 369 in 1988 from 188 in 1976 when the ban started. By 1993, annual homicides had reached 454. Since the gun ban was struck down, murders in the district have steadily gone down from 186 in 2008 to 88 in 2012, the lowest number since the law was enacted in 1976. Though it should be noted that gun murders started decreasing in 1994. Today, Washington, D.C. still has some of the strictest gun laws in the nation, and yet again, the gun murder rate remains dramatically high, the highest in the United States, in fact. So the do the numbers indicate that gun control is the answer to gun violence? You decide. So you see, folks, if you would just look at the stats and see that gun control really doesn't work, and that is nothing more than a ploy by the government under Obama, Reid, Pelosi, and others to take more control over us, the people, then this would suddenly become a non-issue. Simple as that, folks. Simple as that. Isn't that great? I'm not exactly sure what I'm doing here. I think I'm kind of lost. If you would like to call in and let us know what you think, the number is 718-305-7176.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811. PCSforAutomation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
Are you tired of your hard-earned money going to support liberal and progressive enterprises? I know I am. That's why I shop at thethirdlantern.com. This conservative marketplace ensures that your money is well spent and supports conservative entrepreneurs dedicated to making their products here in America. Look, I'm a business owner. I know how hard it can be to get your product out there. Get on his vendors list, and it will help your sales. I have had his barbecue sauce. It is amazing. Check out the website. TheThirdLantern.com. That's the number 3, RDLantern.com. Send your liberal friends there and tell them Hig and Resch sent you. TheThirdLantern.com. Put your money where your ideology is.
Okay. I kind of went off on a rant on gun control. And I was going to essentially make this show about the Benghazi report and everything that has gone on. But gun control has a lot to do with, I think, what happened in Benghazi, too, because everything that the government is doing right now is actually centered on getting the guns away from the people, so that the people who right now are beginning to realize just what our government is doing and that it's not the right thing for the United States, the government is starting to realize that the people are a force that needs to be reckoned with. And that is the reason why I don't feel I went off target by talking about gun control when, you know, I was going to talk about Benghazi. Because I think this whole thing is all connected together in one way or another. And in the minds of people like Barack Obama and Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid and all of these other et als at in our government who believe that confiscation of the guns of the people is where it's at, Benghazi is one of the things that we the people have to really be watching about, you know. So it's like we have to realize that no matter what the government is telling us anymore, it's a freaking lie. We have to realize that what is going on in this nation is not what the founding fathers had in mind. They didn't have big government in mind. They didn't have our government running guns illegally in mind. And thank you, Conservative Nation Radio. I saw that on there. And that was a point I wanted to bring up. Because what the American government was doing was running guns. Ambassador Stevens knew this, before, according to what I have found out. He was part of this whole thing. But when the whole thing started coming down around his ears and he started asking for help, the government backed away. Essentially told him, sorry, pal, you're on your own. We can't do anything for you. And Barbara says, I'm not even close, Robert, but the founding fathers knew that this would happen, and that is why they wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And that is absolutely true. And you have to look, and for anybody who hasn't read the Constitution, it is an interesting document. If you really read what is in the Constitution and what is in the Bill of Rights, you almost have to know that these men knew what they were doing, because they did. They knew what they were coming from. They knew what they needed to have in order to have a nation succeed. And Exposing Demons says that Stevens was expendable. And yeah, but that doesn't make it any less hard on the family, knowing that their government turned away from him in his hour of need. But one of the articles that I had found on this was came from a Jonathan M. Seidel, S-E-I-D-L. And the headline of it was ABC releases Big Benghazi report, talking points changed 12 times, dramatically edited by administration and scrubbed of terror references. And this is something that I had mentioned a little while ago. And this article was written on May 10th, so it's not that long ago, actually yesterday. It says the talking points used by Ambassador Susan Rice on the Sunday shows on the weekend after the 9/11/2012 terror attack on Benghazi underwent at least 12 edits, including revisions by the Obama administration's State Department. New emails obtained by ABC News shows those revisions included scrubbing all references to an Al-Qaeda-affiliated group and all references to previous CIA warnings about a terror threat. Imagine that. From ABC, it says, when it became clear last fall that the CIA's now discredited Benghazi talking points were flawed, the White House said repeatedly the documents were put together almost entirely by the intelligence community, but White House documents reviewed by Congress suggests a different story. And the thing that actually kind of amazed me was that this came from ABC. One of the big three that hasn't been able to tell the truth for so long that it's almost amazing that they came up with this one. But they go on to say that ABC News has obtained 12 different versions of talking points that show they were extensively edited as they evolved from the drafts first written entirely by the CIA to the final version distributed to Congress and to U.S. Ambassador to UN Susan Rice to the UN, Susan Rice, before she appeared on 5 talk shows the Sunday after that attack. And one of the things that I had found out in November, Jay Carney comes up, gets on television and says that the only change that was made was they changed the word consulate to embassy. How often do we have to be lied to by this administration before the people finally stand up and say, now wait a minute, get the hell out of office, we don't need you there anymore? I think that time is coming, but it's not coming fast enough. The article goes on to say, White House emails reviewed by ABC News suggest the edits were made with extensive input from the State Department. Edits included requests from the State Department that references to the Al-Qaeda-affiliated group Ansar al-Sharia be deleted, as well as references to CIA warnings about terrorist threats in Benghazi in the months preceding the attack. ABC's White House correspondent Jonathan Carl said on Friday morning that the talking points were dramatically edited by the administration and that State Department spokeswoman Victoria Nuland played a major role in them. And then it gives a thing from the report and says State Department spokesman Victoria Nuland raised specific objections to this paragraph drafted in the CIA or by the CIA in its earlier versions of the talking points. And it says the agency has produced numerous pieces on the threat of extremists linked to Al-Qaeda in Benghazi and eastern Libya. These noted that since April there have been at least 5 other attacks against foreign interests in Benghazi by unidentified assailants, including the June attack against the British ambassador's convoy. We cannot rule out the individuals as recently surveilled the U.S. facilities also contributing to the efficacy of the attacks. In an email to the officials at the White House, the intelligence agents, and the intelligence agencies, State Department spokesman Victoria Nuland took issue with including that information because it could be abused by members of Congress to beat up the State Department for not paying attention to warnings. So why would we want to feed that either? They sure didn't have that problem when Nixon got caught with Watergate, did they? But the problem that I have with this whole dang thing about Benghazi is the fact that they are trying to say that the Republicans are making this political. No, we're not. It is the Democrats who made this political. Plain and simple. And Lady Michelle says, and people wondered why the FBI had so much trouble getting into Benghazi. To me, this whole affair reeks of sadness. First, we have 4 Americans who are killed. And then we have a Secretary of State getting on television and throwing her arms up in the air in desperation saying, what difference does it make at this point? It makes a difference. And the farther down this road to lying and telling truths that are actually lies, and getting away with this, the harder it's going to be to return this country to the times when she was actually respected and revered because we said something and actually meant it. Federal Bureau of Idiots. I love it. FBI. But this whole thing, you know, I was watching on Real News on the Blaze Network. They were showing the different versions of this report that came out of Benghazi. And the one that was closest to the truth was the very first one that came out. It actually told what happened. It was about four or five paragraphs long, and after they got through editing it and it got to the point where the talking points were put out there by Jay Carney, it was one paragraph. And essentially this whole thing was put together, I think, in order to protect Hillary so that she can run in 2016. And I'm hoping that this whole thing doesn't work. And Lady Michelle says this, and it will make a hell of a lot of difference come 2016 for Hillary. Hillary, yeah. But what we have to stop doing is putting people in there because it's their time. That's exactly what happened when we ran John McCain and he won the nomination. It was his time. That's exactly what happened when we ran Mitt Romney. It was his time. How about putting somebody in there who really wants to do the right things and is known for doing the right things? How about that being the right time? Hillary needs to retire and enjoy a container load of Cuban cigars with Bill. I think they both need to retire. And then head somewhere to some Arctic island. I don't want to say tropic because that would be too nice. Send them to an Arctic island where they can sit in their igloo and smoke those Cuban cigars. But off of Yahoo News this morning, I found an article that was titled GOP Ready to Push Benghazi Case into 2014 and Beyond. I certainly hope so. I am getting so sick and tired of the GOP getting things that they can actually use to win elections with, and then when push comes to shove, they drop and say, oh, no, that's not what we meant. I am hoping that we can get some new blood in here like Ted Cruz, who doesn't seem to be afraid of anybody telling him he's wrong when he expresses his opinions. Right now, it seems like he's about the only one who won't back down when somebody pushes against him. He is what we need more of. We don't need any more like John McCain, who will swish away and go to the other aisle just because it's expedient for him at that point in time. And Rand Paul, Barbara goes and mentions Rand Paul. I found an article where he says, this one's good too, he says that Hillary should be banned from office. And essentially taken out of office and banned, I think, is what his words were. And I love it. She should be. So should Obama. So should Harry Reid. So should Nancy Pelosi. So should Chuck Schumer. So should John McCain. So should Lindsey Graham. And I believe those two also, but it also shows that I am not just after the Democrats here. There are so many Republicans out there right now that just swish back and forth between the aisles like a drag queen going from one person to the next to find who they were going to dance with next. And I'm getting really tired of this swishing back and forth between the aisles and talking to the other side because it's nice to do. I don't care about nice anymore. I am getting really sick and tired of all of us sitting there saying, oh, we can't lower ourselves to their level because if we do, we'll be no better than they are. I'm afraid to say that the time has come where we have to. And it's not lowering ourselves to their level. It's bringing everybody up to ours and saying, this is the truth and we're sticking by it. I don't care what you say. And Lady Michelle says there are two locations in Benghazi, wasn't there? One was where Stevens met with the Turkey government official, and the other was the weapons warehouse. And I think so. I'm not sure if the annex was one of those or if that might have been even a third. There's been so many different talking points on this whole thing about Benghazi that it's confusing. And I think that is the main reason why a lot of the people just sit there and just let it go in one ear and out the other. Let the politicians work it out with themselves and just go on with their lives and just take care of the problems that they have coming into their everyday lives. Most of them now because of Obama and his policies and the left policies that are making it so that our dollar is worth so much less than it used to be. I know we have the problems that we have to take care of in our own lives here, people, but those problems are going to magnify immensely if we don't get the people out of office that are there now who would rather lie to us about something that happened than try and tell the truth and deal with the consequences of what their actions were. To me, it's insane. And it's starting to rain now. And it wasn't supposed to today. That's I love the weather. we are right now. I have been watching my grass and my yard right now is so green that it reminds me of the West Coast. Everything out there is freaking green. And, oh, okay. Lady Michelle said that the annex was the warehouse. Okay, so thank you for letting me know about that. That whole thing had me so confused I had no clue what the differences between the whole thing was, because what we had here was a story that contradicted another story that had another story that came in that contradicted both of them, and we were supposed to believe that everything we were told was the truth. I don't know. But with the steady drips of information about the horrific night in Libya are fueling Republican arguments and ads designed to fire up conservative base and undercut the Democrats' early favorite for president in 2016. The Democrat and the Republican strategists sharply disagree on the issues power to influence elections next year and beyond. But after 8 months of trying, the Democrats are still struggling to move past last September's terrorist attacks. And actually, when it comes to this, and I'm reading from that Yahoo News story on the GOP ready to push Benghazi case into 2014. But, you know, it says here that the Democrats are still struggling to move past last September's terrorist attacks on the U.S. diplomatic compound in Benghazi, which killed Ambassador Chris Stevens and three other Americans. Well, one of the reasons why they're still struggling to move past this is because they have lied so damn much that they don't know what the heck the truth is anymore. And when the truth comes up and slaps them upside the head and gives them a dose of reality, they're shocked. They don't know what to do with this. And if they were had just told the truth in the first place, they wouldn't be getting slapped upside the head with the truth. The lady Michelle on this was talking. Barbara Buffing said the safe house was behind the annex, and Lady Michelle said, there's only one thing I can be sure of. Whatever they were doing in Benghazi was illegal. Otherwise, they wouldn't be working so hard to hide the truth from we, the people. And that's exactly what I, you know, and that's actually putting what I have been struggling to say for the last hour in better words than I was even able to think about, and it puts it into a one sentence. And that whole thing comes down to the point, if they had just told the truth in the first place and then telling the truth from the word go, I don't think this administration would be anywhere near the trouble it's in right now. And the problem comes in the whole thing that I don't think they even realize they're in trouble yet. But I think that this whole thing is going to get fun before this is over. And I don't mean fun in a yay, we're going out to play thing. I think it's going to get fun because we're going to start seeing things happening that 6 months ago, none of us would have thought would be possible. And but I think things are coming now that would have been hard to understand months ago. I think things are coming that none of us would have foreseen, given the way our government is always lying to us. But I think it's coming no matter what. And I think 2016 may be a surprise to a lot of us.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Okay, I just kind of lost my... my stuff here, so I'll use this one.
We first opened about 10 years ago. We were small, just a few of us, but it was exciting. I always dreamt of having my own business. It was kind of slow at first, but things started picking up. We had big plans, but in our wildest dreams, we never, never thought we'd have this much work. Yeah, with so many businesses caught off guard by the storm, Reed Waste Management has never been busier.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency, and 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now, before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
Oh, boy.
My name is Tom Thornton.
And my name is Cindy Thornton. We've been married 38 years. We're retired, and this is how we live united.
We play golf and we travel, but we also decided we were going to give to and volunteer with United Way at our community free health clinic.
I do the nursing at the clinic.
I work the front office, checking in patients, greeting them, making them feel comfortable.
United Way is how we contribute, because we know our time and money are going to the right places, the places that need it most and implement it best.
Judging by the thank yous we get at the clinic, I'd say we're doing the right thing with our retirement, too.
We even get a few bless yous. It's incredible.
We're Tom and Cindy Thornton. We volunteer at our community free health clinic, so we don't just wear the shirt.
We live it.
Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
ConservativeNationRadio.org is proud to be associated with the most effective identity security and credit monitoring service there is, LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, unless it's leap year, and then it's 366. There is really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock, go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the LifeLock banner. That's conservativenationradio, that's one word, .org, and click on the LifeLock banner. We are still working to figure out just what we have going here. I'm finding things that are this is actually pretty cool. I'm just having myself a blast here, trying to figure out just what all I'm supposed to be talking about, especially since last week I didn't even have any notes in my email come in to tell me what I was supposed to be talking about, and this week they came in and half of them didn't print. Conservatives respect pioneers, and Brenda Ward has been with conservativenationradio.org since the very beginning. Michelle Malkin, Laura Ingram, Ann Coulter, and Monica Crowley have nothing on the women patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing, who is in my chat room today. Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central is the place to hear from real women who are real patriots, so let your voice be heard. Incidentally, conservative guys are welcome at our own very own D&B too. Welcome, Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. Yeah. If anybody would like to call in, the number is 718-305-7176. And I'm just having a blast. This is really cool. As we get ready to pull up the next article. Back to that article that I was reading on GOP ready to push Benghazi case into 2014. It says newly revealed communications show that senior State Department officials pressed for changes in the talking points that UN Ambassador Susan Rice used a few days after the Benghazi attacks. Now, this is something that I think needs to be really pushed, and I know there's going to be people out there that are going to say, oh, come on, we've heard this all before. You guys are just making this political. You guys are just doing, bringing up points that we've all heard before. And the problem we've had with this in the past is that we've listened. We thought, okay, yeah, well, so we've said all these things before, so we'll just shut up about it now. And the whole thing is completely forgotten. And then after a while, the Democrats come along and think, hey, we got away with that. Ain't we great? We can do this again. I think the best thing that the Republicans can do, and now the sun's shining, I'll be dang. I think the best thing that the Republicans can do on this whole thing is to show some backbone. Keep that backbone in place instead of dissolving it like John McCain will do or Lindsey Graham will do, and swish to the other side of the aisle. What we need to do is keep that backbone in place and keep pounding them on this. The Democrats, and of course some on our side like John McCain, made mistakes here. And it's time we we the people started looking at this and thinking there has to be consequences for what happened here, especially since four Americans died. This isn't like when Tom Foley had his little affair with a page in the halls of Congress and then lost his position in the government because of it. No one died there. Essentially, if no one had found out about this and this hadn't leaked to somebody in the media, no one would have ever found out about this. It would have been something between Foley and God, and that would have been settled with no lies being implemented to sway the final judgment. But the Republicans have to stick with this. We have to stay with this, because if we don't, we are going to have happen what Glenn Beck says. If this doesn't come through and put in the changes that need to be put in, America is history. And right at the moment, I think that there are too many of us out here, like me and Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh and Barbara Buffing and everybody else that does shows like this, Brenda Ward and Chris Manti and everybody, okay? And our shows are not being put out here and not heard by anybody. Some of these shows are being heard by a hell of a lot of people. And a lot of the people who are hearing these shows agree with what we're trying to put out here. There are too many people in the United States who know what the truth is now to go and push this whole thing into the back burner like the Democrats and the politicians have always wanted to do if it doesn't follow their agenda. And Barbara helps me out here. She puts Michael Bing Duke, Guy and Carl. I go naming off people and suddenly my mind goes blank and I swear to God it has to be old age or something. My mind is a sieve for information, but when it takes in some information, other information just kind of packs up and goes. And I'm not really sure if that's, you know, old age or just me not doing what I need to do to hold on to the information that I need to hold on to. It probably has a little bit to do of each. But this week, I have actually been working out here in my studio. And I think right now it's actually sounding a little bit better. I've got more of the acoustics up, which I didn't have before. I have got a new piece of furniture in here which holds my microphone in front of me and actually has a spot for me to put the camera in there so I can start taking photos and getting photos in here of what I am doing while I am doing the show. And I think it's something that, you know, I've wanted to do for ages. And I've always wanted to try to do things like, you know, something on the lines of like Rush Limbaugh does, where he's got the listener cam, you know, the his camera that gets turned on in the second hour. I always thought it'd be cool to do like a 2-hour show and on the second hour turn on the camera. So I can get a video going of it. I always thought this was kind of cool, you know. And it's not really one of the reasons why I do this. It's actually something that I would like to try. But you know, the things that we have to start realizing here, people, is that our government is lying to us. And I used to hear that most of us didn't want to hear about somebody like Obama lying because he was the darling. He was the first black to become president. And I made mention of something last week that really sticks with me, no matter how much I try to talk about other things and bring in other things. This one thing comes in, and it happened last week during my show when I had that person call me and tell me that I was wrong on my stance on gun control and that a five-year-old does not have any rights to handle a gun. We have to start sticking to our principles. The things that we have allowed this country to head away from and become, if you look at it with an open mind and try and figure out just what has happened to America, one of the things that we have to stop and look at is that everything that is going on in America today has everything to do with who we voted into office. And this person that called me this last week, one of the points that I brought up was that if I had been a black person and I had been elected to the office of president and I was the first black person to be elected to president, I would want to be the best president that we have ever had, so that if another black person came along and wanted to become president, they could look back on me and say, wow, he was a great president. Maybe we can take a chance on another one. But I think what Obama has done in the things that he has done, I think he has completely set back the relations of black people and white people, because he has done everything he can in his policies to destroy this nation. And if you have people who want this nation taken care of and brought back to the greatness that she used to have, that is not who you want in office. And it's the way I have always felt. If you want to be president of the United States, be the best that you can possibly be. Stop trying to push your agendas unless you know that your agendas will do good for this nation. Because if you want to be president, you want to be a good president, not have history tell everybody that you were the worst that this country has ever seen. And hello, Sarah, good to have you here. I'm always happy to see new people come into the chat room. But that, you know, and this ideal of mine might get me in trouble. I don't truthfully care on that point. I think that whoever you are, if you're going to be president and you're going to be the first president of your race or your gender, I think that what you would want to do is be the best that you could possibly be, so that somebody following you would have a better chance of getting the same position and power and privilege that you have gotten. But I don't see this happening with Obama. I think that he just doesn't care. I think he wants this country to fail. I think he wants this country to stay racist. I think he wants this country to never elect another black president, so that he can possibly say, well, I was the only black president this country has ever seen. And then while he is in office, he's done everything to make sure that we think twice or three times before we elect another. How sad is that? And this whole thing with Benghazi goes right into this whole thing of everybody finding out that he's not here for the people. He's not here for the United States. He's not in Washington on our dime spending our money for anything except that he wants to be there so that he can have the prestige of being able to say to his children someday, I was president of the United States. The country paid for me to destroy it. I didn't have to put any of my money into this endeavor. But on that article about the GOP ready to push Benghazi case into 2014, one of the things that it goes on to say is that the Democrats say Republicans are nakedly exploiting the Benghazi deaths, and voters won't like it. Ha, ha, ha. I don't think the Democrats know what the hell they're talking about. They're saying Republicans are a desperate party right now, trying to do whatever they can to dirty up the president to make some gains in 2014 and dirty up the Secretary Clinton because they're terrified she'll walk into the White House. And this was said by Democratic consultant Doug Thornell. He said this is an attempt to keep their base together and motivated after Obama's victories in 2008 and 2012. Huh? People, we cannot believe this bull crap from the left. If anybody's destroying Obama, it's Obama himself. And Sarah says, I just hope people don't have dementia in 2014. We tend to forget when it comes time, when it matters most. And she says she's talking on a mass level. And this is so very freaking true. Americans have such a short memory, short attention span, that we can go, that weeks before this last election, all the polls were saying that Obama had no chance of winning because the people were aware of what he had done to this nation and what he was doing, that a second term would cement what he was trying to do to this nation. Then Obama swings a little bit to the center, and people forget. Immediately, it's like, bam, it's gone. What the heck? Why did we hate him so damn much? Let's vote him back in for a second term. He's obviously changed. What we thought before was wrong. And it's like Sarah said in the chat room, he won on fraud, period. That's exactly what he did. He changed from the complete leftist insaniac that he is, swung to the center so that he could bring in more people from the right, told them he was there for them. They forgot all that they had been told and that they had learned about him over the first 4 years. They forgot the $16 trillion that was suddenly our national debt that will never pay off. And they voted him in again. Then after he was voted in, he swung right back where he was, laughing all the way to the bank. And we're the ones who are going to be paying the tab on this one for the rest of our lives, for the rest of our children's lives, for the rest of our grandchildren's lives. And Obama doesn't care. He's a rich man. He doesn't care. All of his money that he has come from what he is doing now. He's a rich man. But as a rich man, he doesn't consider himself a rich man because he is for the poor man. He wants to put everybody who is poor on the welfare rolls and give them as much money the government can possibly give to them. Take it all from the rich man. The only thing that I have found out about Obama that is different from Clinton and Carter, is that Obama is generous when it comes to giving to charities and things like that. He does give more than most liberals do. And exposing demons says he won't need those riches where he's going. Where he's going, I'll tell you, it can't be fast enough for me. Because I love this country. This is the greatest country this world has ever seen. Right now we have a president who is doing everything he can to destroy it. Right now we have a Senate majority leader who is doing everything he can to destroy it. And all of the minions who fall in behind these three and I'm talking Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, and Barack Obama. And right behind them is Chuck Schumer and all these others, and John Kerry and Hillary Clinton, who want nothing more than to destroy this country and then make it up to be the fault of the Republicans. They want to destroy this nation. And then when the whole thing comes down and the consequences have to be paid, the consequences will be paid by the Republicans. That's the way they want. That's the way they have always worked. And, you know, the whole funny part about this whole thing is that if we look back on Democrats of the past, John F. Kennedy was more conservative than most conservatives are now. The Democratic Party is far more liberal than it's ever been. The Republican Party is far more liberal than it has ever been. Thankfully, we have people like Ted Cruz and Paul Rand, Sarah Palin, and a few others who are out here. Todd Rokita, who is my congressman. Mike Pence, who is now my governor. And I think that this whole thing of the grassroots people of the ilk of Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, I think that is something that is just beginning. I can see everybody in the chat room is having fun. I am coming down on the last half hour of the show, and it actually kind of surprised me that I really had this much to talk about. This whole week I've been gathering information and struggling to figure out what to talk about. And it's not that there has been so little to talk about. It's quite the opposite. There's been so much to talk about. It's like you get into the show and you start figuring out what you need to talk about, and suddenly there's so damn much there that you can't figure out what it is you want to talk about. Our government is doing things to us that should cause everybody in this nation to be totally outraged. This whole thing last week of the morning after pill being made available to 15-year-olds without them having to get a hold of their parents to let them know they're going to take it. I was steaming at the trough on that one. I have a 14-year-old right now. In 1 year, she's going to be able to go out and have sex if she wants to, and if she gets pregnant, go to a pharmacy and get this morning after pill, and she won't have to say a damn thing to me, thanks to Obama and the left and the government. Makes me want to get my gun and go out and start shooting people. Of course, I won't do that because, you know, that would be wrong. But it brings me to this point that we are in a nation right now that is being destroyed from the top down. And the ones that are really going to pay for this is not me. Hell, I'm already at retirement age. I'm already pretty much through with my work life. I've only got a few years left. Even if I decide to work until 75, I've got less than 15 years left. Which pretty much puts me at the top of the list when it comes to being able to retire and live out my life. But all these benefits that I could still possibly get, my daughters, when they get to retirement age, are not going to have this. Unless we start waking up and start changing what is going on, and we have to do this completely. We can't just go and say, oh, well, some of what they say is okay, so we'll just take what they're trying to push and then maybe get rid of it later on. Reagan had the right idea. One of the nearest things to eternal life in this world is a government program. Once we let that program get in there, it's going to be harder than hell to get rid of. And that's what I was constantly saying about Obamacare. Put that into law, and we're going to play hell getting rid of it. Because somewhere in there, there's always going to be someone who will say, well, the law is bad, but look, there's something in there that's really not that bad. We can keep it because this makes it okay. And then our government will keep the damn law as it continues to destroy this nation from inside. And the only things that will come back to us then are the words of, I think, Thomas Jefferson or Benjamin Franklin, when they said, and I can't remember which one said this one, but it said that, well, it probably Abraham Lincoln, now that I think about it. But they said that America will not be destroyed from without, it will be destroyed from within. Stop and look at the direction our government is leading us, and you will see the truth in that one.
I don't believe it. My savings are gone.
Okay, think. Where'd you have them last?
I was home, then I spent them on that vacation and this tiny suit of armor. Now they're gone.
Weird. Weird? Not really. Not saving now means no money later. Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. For free ideas on ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's feedthepig.org. Oh, I broke his little gauntlet.
Oh, no.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Join Duke Brooks on the conservativenationradio.org Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central. I think now he's on Wednesday, isn't he? I'm not sure. But Duke administers the Senator Joe McCarthy Facebook page, which is probably why NBC wouldn't hire him to fly a national network news helicopter. You know, I would like to fly a national news helicopter. I think that'd be fun. But if you love history, politics, flying, and the occasional William F. Buckley quote, check out Duke Brooks on Radio Free America, Mondays or Wednesdays, I'm not sure which now, at 7 p.m. Eastern and 6 Central on conservativenationradio.org, Real Conservatism for Real Conservatives. Exposing Moms asked me, is this show on daily? No. I don't know if I could do this daily. I'm never been someone like Rush who has a crap load of people working for him and comes up with all this information that he comes up with. I don't think I could do this. I would love to. I think if I could get paid to do it, I probably would. But this show is only on Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central, 2 p.m. Mountain, and 1 p.m. Eastern, or Eastern, yeah, my God, Pacific. So I think if I did this daily, I would lose my humor really, really fast. But I'm only on Saturdays.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts. StopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Okay. I had actually missed that one earlier. as I was trying to get my notes going. I had a thing here from MSNBC. It was kind of funny. The headline on this was "Hell Freezes Over." MSNBC says Benghazi cover-up looks Clintonian, risk of impeachment. And they had a video with that, and the video kind of showed, you know how they have these pictures where it shows a picture with the start button in the middle of it, and it showed Clinton in the presidential debate, Benghazi attack. But it said weather reports are coming in, and it appears the hell may have actually frozen over. On now with Alex Wagner, and then I got this from a place called isthatbaloney.com. They said a panel of journalists is discussing the recent development in the Benghazi embassy attack and the subsequent cover-up, and members of the panel are saying some previously unheard things on the MSNBC network. It says, as you will see in the video, the discussion goes on, goes into one member of the group saying, quote, politically, this is not good for the White House, unquote. And then it just deteriorates for Obama administration from there. The next member says, of the panel says, quote, sure, they look terrible, unquote. Next up, another panel member, when asked if this becomes an election issue, says, sure, it becomes an election issue. It becomes a 2014 issue. It becomes a 2016 issue. It becomes a, should I say even the word, this is where hell freezes over. And I saw this coming from MSNBC, and I thought, wow, you know, maybe the mainstream media is starting to get the idea that they're wrong. But Sadly, no, they're not. And Barbara Buffing just got through saying, yes, Duke Show Radio Free America is on Wednesday nights. So the notes that I got for this thing today that was updated for today did not pass that information on to me. So I'm going to go ahead and mark those for mine on my computer so that I will have that. But it's on Duke's show is on Radio Free America on Wednesday at 7 p.m. And the Manti show is on Friday evenings at 5 p.m. So we've had some changes, and they didn't show on my little list. So I'm always glad to have Barbara in the chat room to set me straight when I go wrong, which I do occasionally in a more occasional way than most, I think. But this whole thing with Obama and the left, and even some on the right, I think this whole thing is just for show. It's like Sarah said in the chat room, this is just for show. It's to show the American people that they know what is going on. We don't. That they know what is supposed to happen. We don't. That they are the ones who are in charge because they know. We don't. And one of the things that we have to start realizing here is that if we keep working with that attitude that we don't know and they do, this nation is in trouble. Actually, this nation's in trouble now. And Barbara says, that's what I'm here for. Sure could have used you last week when I was trying to do my show and looking for help, and you weren't here. But we do have to realize this, folks, that America's in trouble. And she's in trouble mainly because of the people that we have elected into office. And the sad part about this whole thing is that, you know, shows like mine, I don't really think I have that much to worry about. I don't have that big of a following right now. If I could get my following that was following me before I moved to this time slot, that was a heck of a lot more than I'd ever had before in my life. I was having 2,000 to 3,000 people a week listen to my show, archive listens and live listens. I was pretty ecstatic about that, but even that is nothing. That is not something that I have to sit and worry about FBI agents from Obama coming up to my door here and hauling me out of my studio because I'm not saying what they want to be said. I really don't think I have that to worry about. But as conservativenationradio.org grows, the network may have problems. Clear Channel Rush is on has problems. And I think that the more we allow Obama to get away with, the more problems we as free Americans are going to start having. And it's something that to me is really a scary scenario. I had found that out later on, Barbara, about your family emergency, and I'm sorry to hear that. I hope everything turned out good for everything that happened last week. But we have to start realizing that all these actions that are going on in the government and all these things that we are doing to re-elect these idiotic people that are out there destroying this nation, that there are consequences to what is going on. And the consequences are going to be dire. This nation's in trouble. And we have to stop and realize that if we don't stop what is going on, there is not going to be a nation that our children will be able to grow up in that is free like the ones we grow up, like the one we grew up in. I remember in school, my biggest fear was being able to get under my desk in case we had an attack drill. You remember those where the alarms would go off and we'd have to get down underneath our desks? I look back on that now and I kind of laugh about it because the problems that we have coming at us today make that child's play. This nation, and I cannot say this enough times, is in trouble. We need to start watching what we are talking about and what we are doing when we go to the voter, to the voting booth. We need to start researching who we are voting for. It may take a little bit of time out of our lives, which are busy anyway, but if we keep going the direction we're going to be going, we're all going to be working two or three jobs in order to survive. And I don't know about you, but at 61 years old, I can't work several jobs to survive. Exposing Demons says, I'm a Mexican from way down south and halfway around the world, Australia. Good to have you here. I actually love the idea of being able to do a show and people from Australia or somewhere on the other side of the world being able to hear what I'm saying. It's something that growing up, I would have never imagined being able to do. But it's also something that I cannot imagine my children being able to do. With the amount of freedoms that they are losing daily, with the way that the government is coming after everybody who seems to not agree with what they are talking about, do we really want our children to not have anything that they can do because they want to? I actually have two more things here.
My name is Tom Thornton.
And my name is Cindy Thornton. We've been married 38 years. We're retired, and this is how we live united.
We play golf and we travel, but we also decided we were going to give to and volunteer with United Way at our community free health clinic.
I do the nursing at the clinic.
I work the front office, checking in patients, greeting them, making them feel comfortable.
United Way is how we contribute, because we know our time and money are going to the right places, the places that need it most and implement it best.
Judging by the thank yous we get at the clinic, I'd say we're doing the right thing with our retirement, too.
We even get a few bless yous. It's incredible.
We're Tom and Cindy Thornton. We volunteer at our community free health clinic, so we don't just wear the shirt.
We live it.
Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Nurse, I need you to apply pressure to the head wound until I can get to it. I'm concerned she's lost too much blood.
Oh, no.
You in the corner, who are you? You're not supposed to be here.
She's my girlfriend, Doctor.
You need to wait out in the waiting room.
Please, Doctor, I want to stay with her.
Look, she's been badly injured. So if you want to do what's best for her, you need to let us do our work.
Please, Doctor, she has to be okay. I didn't mean to do this. I love her.
Wait a second. You were the driver?
Yes, but I didn't mean to. I swear, we went to dinner. I was just buzzed. I only had a few drinks.
Just buzzed? Why didn't you tell us that? In that case, your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great. You want to get out of here?
I can't believe this. Really, Doctor? She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
I actually went on several rants today and missed a couple of my ads that I needed to play, but I played one of them twice, and I think I played actually several of them twice. One of them was supposed to be played twice. But I'm coming up on the top of the hour, and I'm glad to see that everybody was here today. I'm really happy to see that I had an active chat room today. The subject matter of today was and is and is going to continue to be important. We need to stick with finding out what happened in Benghazi, and then we have to keep ourselves in tune and on top of the gun control issue too, because that's one of the things that I've completely come to realize is going on. If one thing doesn't work for the government, like gun control, they were working really hard on that for a while and it wasn't working out, so they threw something else in to take our minds off of gun control so they can reword and rework what they were trying to do there. What we need to complete stop and realize is that no matter how they reword themselves or how they rework what they are trying to do, it's still going to be gun confiscation. They want to take our guns away from us, and I know they're constantly saying, oh, no, that's not what we want, but if you look at it, that's exactly what they want. They don't like the idea of us having our own guns and being able to protect ourselves from the government in case the government decides to come and take us all away. I think the United States needs to wake up and realize what is going on, what is happening, and put a stop to it all. Because if we don't, I'm afraid this nation is coming to an end. And Lady Michelle says, get ready for more executive orders, i.e. gun control, if nothing gets through Congress. And that's how the Democrats work. That's how the liberal left works. If one thing doesn't work, they rework the whole thing and come back at us again with the same thing with a few words changed. They work on us until our resolve weakens, and then they push their agenda into us, and then we finally give in. Just like Glenn Beck said on his thing when he was talking at the NRA. He said that they will continue to push their agenda on us until we give in. I am not going to give in. I hope none of us do. I hope the United States in mass comes up and tells him, cut it out. And I see there's people leaving. I'm glad you were here exposing demons. Glad to have you here. Glad to see Barbara Buffing was here, Lady Michelle, everybody. The show is almost over. So I will start playing my final song. I have changed it from what I had been playing. I'm going to use now a song called Respect the Wind by Van Halen. I have been trying to find music that fits what I talk about, what I am doing. But here's one last thing that I have to say before I end this show. We think that we have a president. And the ones who listen to shows like this know exactly what he is like. But from MinutemenNews.com came this article on May the 4th. The headline was, Obama, Americans are root cause of violence that's been happening here in Mexico. Do I have to say any more? Obama is not there for us. He doesn't care for us. He doesn't care for America. He doesn't care for anything except for his agenda and raking in the money that he is getting from we the people. That is all he cares about. That is all he is ever going to care about. Unless he fails at it all. Then he's going to care about trying to get back into office so he can do it to us again. This is Robert the Infidel from my studios in Indiana. From behind the silver CNR Microphone of Freedom, in the new Wise Conservatism radio show, heard here on Blog Talk Radio through conservativenationradio.org. Go to conservativenationradio.org and see what we are all about. And traditional Americans were there too. Have a good day, and I will see you all next week. God bless you all. God bless America. God bless you all.